I just felt like it was a little bit of a kick in the balls, to be honest.
It came a lot sooner than I thought that I would be the oldest player on the team.
That's all you got, brother. That's all you got.
The word of the day would have been hyper-realism.
We're bad at soccer, but we're good on a bagel.
Holding the high line with Rabbi and Red, talking the rapids and turning heads, with questions from you and analysis. In your car, in your home, thank you for tuning to Holding the High Line.
Hello, Colorado Rapids fans. You are listening to Holding the High Line with Rabbi and Red. It is Monday, July the 1st, 2024. The presidential debate happened, and it was not encouraging. The U.S. men's national team is about to play Uruguay at time recording, and they're probably going to get eliminated in the group. No pressure or anything, Greg. And the Rapids went to LAFC and lost 3-0 on Saturday and ended the game down a man, because of course they did. But hey, Keegan Rosenberry is going to the MLS All-Star game, so officially, Holding the High Line will be ending its agnostic stance and boycott of the All-Star game. Joining me now to get hyped about America's birthday, Rabbi Mark Goodman.
I don't think Keegan's actually going to play though, Matt, but we'll get to that when we get through this. America's birthday, pretty exciting. I'm very excited. You know how I'm celebrating America's birthday?
How? What is the, we got kosher veggie dogs?
Close. Well, it's actually a pre-birthday celebration. I'm going to America's best city, the best city in America, in Ohio, which is not
Flag City,
the best city in America in Ohio, which Cleveland. Is not Dayton and is not Cincinnati and is not Columbus and is not
Canton
and is not Youngstown. So this, I'm celebrating America's birthday by going to the sixth best city in Ohio, according to some, Cleveland, Ohio. Me and the kids are going to Cleveland tomorrow, Matt. We're going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're going to go to a kosher barbecue restaurant. We're going to go to the Natural History Museum, and we're also going to go to the cool, like, marketplace-y where fancy chefs buy fancy foods. It's going to be great.
This was a banter topic, like, a month or 2 months ago, where we were talking about places
right, Cleveland.
That, like, you guys were gonna go,
finally going
to go. Cleveland, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and
that's
you finally
right.
converted them on this. I want my finder's fee.
The kids are into
penance.
It.
Uncle Matt, Uncle Red here has given ideas. I inceptioned the kids, and now they're going to see what proper music look like, as opposed to just listening to their random millennial stuff that got recycled for TikTok, because Gen Z has an attention span of 5 seconds.
Oh, no, I think the whole experience is going to be like, oh my god, you guys, it's Bob Dylan's first guitar. Oh my god, you guys, it's the it's the guitar that Prince played, Still My Guitar Gently Weeps at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, and then he threw up into the sky and it never came down. Oh my god, you guys, it's Bruce Springsteen's Star Spangled Banner Born in the USA cover original signed by the entire E Street Band. And at that point, the kids, we will have been there 15 minutes and the kids will go, when can we leave? But, you know, that's what you get for taking kids on vacation. Or having kids, for that matter.
Mark, can you guess how I will be celebrating America's birthday?
I'm going to guess that for the, I think it's the eighth year in a row for you, maybe the 10th. I think it's the eighth year in a row. You will be, missing the fireworks while in the post game press conference with a Colorado Rapids coach. Although this year in a change of pace, you'll be with a coach who A, seems to want to be there, and B, doesn't seem to have any danger of being fired for the first time in a very long time. So that is, am I right?
Frazier,
no fireworks for you.
Frazier in 2021 was doing just fine.
True.
And so if we're saying that's an absolute statement, Mark, of the wanted to be there, was interested in media, cared about our podcast, and then also is in no danger of being fired, I think that's true. Because Pablo really never wanted to be there. Hudson didn't want to be there, I'm pretty sure. And then Robin, I think, was okay overall 2021. I think Robin was okay being there.
Robin wasn't going to get fired, but he didn't like the media.
I think he was vibing in 2021. I think that's
okay.
Fair. So in any case, yes. So Chris Armas is checking a lot of boxes that no other Rapids head coach in the history of this podcast has checked, probably pending the result. Since Robin Frazier in 2021, maybe Connor Casey in 2019. No, Connor didn't want to be there either. Mark, so we'll get to America's birthday and Fourth Fest and all of the hot dogs and Not that we're getting paid by the Rapids marketing team, even though I've joked about us being a KSC-funded PSYOP in the past. I should be worth pointing out that Thursday will be the largest outdoor firework public firework display in the state of Colorado once again.
And you've never said that before.
Yes, we've mentioned it. I've written it at least once. In any case, we've got some news to talk about, listeners, before we get to that. So, Mark, let's just go chronologically with the Rapids news that you and I have not been on together to talk about this. One of the wonderful things about doing a podcast, listeners, is sometimes you do things with the information you have, and then by the time you edit it, publish it, and then give 24 hours for the fan base to then have time to listen to it, things change completely. And that happened last week with what we were saying about Rafael Navajo, and ultimately news breaking originally from Braden Nurse from the Denver Post, friend of the show, former guest on the show, that Navajo's deal is done. Mark, we've now done post-game or post-training availability with Hoffa, and myself, as well as other people and outlets, have reported the deal is was $3.5 million flat fee, no add-ons or anything. So functionally, all of this back and forth that the Rapids were doing in negotiations functionally saved them $1 million if we're going with the 4.5 million valuation. Mark, we both knew or strongly believed that this was going to get done. It was just a matter of time. How happy are you that it's done and we don't have to talk about it? How relieved are you that there's no purgatory in between where Navajo is in limbo and not available for the Rapids? And how happy are we that the Rapids saved $1 million?
I think it's great. I don't think there's any downside to this. Through 2027 is maybe a year longer than I would have gone, but I don't think it's a bad call at all. I don't mind the price. I think I might have gone $3 million if I could get it, but you know, I think it's all around a really good deal. Rafael Navajo, the only worry I have is the dreaded slump that guys have when they're not in a contract year, right? Navajo was playing to try and earn that move and to earn that big cash because, as I mentioned, I think last podcast, players get a small amount from the transfer fee. It's usually like a percentage that's negotiated through their agent. It's a couple.
I've heard 5 to 10% is a usual ballpark there, Mark.
That actually sounds like a lot more than
depends
I thought.
Depends on the high end. I thought it was probably like 6 or 7.
Yeah, 3 to 5. But 3 to 5% of $3.5 million is a lot of money. So
maybe I'm including agent fees in there as well, yeah. Mark. So in any
that's
case,
good.
Okay, so
either
Navajo
way,
gets
nonetheless,
$100K.
Hoffa wants the move because it's good for him. Players like transfer fees because they get cash up front, and it sounds good to them. Although, you know, anyways, point is this: this is a good move for the Rapids because the other thing is that I think people sometimes complain, like, I don't know, is he worth the money? Striker's really hard to acquire. The Rapids have never really broken the bank for a top flight striker. They've paid good money for Kai Kamara, although he was kind of a developed mid-tier MLS player in the back end of his career. And by back end, I mean that back end never seems to end since he is still playing for, as we just saw, LAFC. And Connor Casey is the other best player that the Colorado Rapids have ever had. A striker who was also kind of an internally developed, you know, guy. He was MLS internally developed, not. So getting those, like, you know, foreign strikers is really, really difficult. And so the Rapids locked one up. They paid one. They've got a guy for a couple years that they can rely on. I think we should think about it a little bit in the Diego Rubio kind of camp, which was Diego had a couple of really good years. We didn't pay that much money for him. I think overall, we would say that the Diego Rubio experience for the Colorado Rapids was a good experience. We got what we wanted out of him. And at the end, he moved on. And I think it was win-win for everybody. There were moments of that contract where you kind of thought, like, gee, I don't know. You know, maybe we could have a better guy at this position or better. Maybe, you know, he's a little disappointing. But over the length of, you know, his time with the Rapids, we think, you know, in general, Diego Rubio was mostly beneficial for the Rapids. I think that's what we're looking at with Hoffa. And I think the other thing is, like, now that he's not alone, I think the fans can really embrace him. I think we can now say, like, a 6-month loan is a really short stretch. And, like, you know, if you're a fan and you're like, who am I going to get on the back of my jersey to start the season? I mean, Bassett and Vines and Rosenberry are obvious choices. Long-term contract guys, well-known Rapids, well-loved. Like, now, you're going to get your Hoffa jersey, and that's so it's win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a number of fans, Mark, who have sensed, like, they've said in the next couple home games, they're going to go to the team store before the game and get their shirt customized with Bombito, because that's going to be potentially a time capsule, depending on what goes on with him. We haven't had any update on that. We're not going to be talking Bombi transfer rumors. Shout out to Canada, though. Jesse Marsh getting out of the group, though, Mark, albeit with just scoring one goal across the three games and doing it where, other than Argentina, they were playing largely up a man. But hey, they advanced in Copa America. Mexico can't say that. By the time you're listening to this, the United States probably won't be able to say that. But you know, to your point, Mark, it was a win-win. Everybody wanted this, I think, ultimately. I had heard from some of my connections in Brazil that, as much as maybe Palmeiras was implying that other Brazilian clubs were interested in him, there wasn't it wasn't at the valuation that ultimately the Rapids were discussing about paying, and reportedly ultimately have paid as well. So you've got a DP striker who's clearly really happy here, who wants to be here, who is at a good contract length for their age as well. He's scoring goals. He can be a piece that you can build around. You've got a bunch of stuff, good stuff going on around him. He wants to be here, and you got him at the price that ultimately you wanted. For what it's worth, Transfer Market has his value right now at 3.5 million euros. I haven't looked at the currency, Mark, but roughly equal, maybe slightly more than what his valuation would have been in U.S. dollars. So the Rapids got the striker they wanted for less than the initial valuation, and I don't think it can be understated. And so a little nuance here, Mark, as well. So I had reported that Georgie's transfer fee was actually somewhere between 3 and 4, and there were a few different components of incentives. I don't know what the updates are on that. I don't know what they've hit as well. But my understanding is that Navajo potentially tied, but definitely has not broken the Rapids transfer fee. So in any case, Hoffa at 3.5, Georgie somewhere in another region between 3 and 4, possibly above 3.5 right now. It cannot be understated. The Colorado Rapids KSC shelling out potentially 7 to 8 potential. No, because 3.5 plus 4 would be 7.5. I'm terrible at math, listeners. 7 to 7.5 million ish U.S. dollars in one calendar year for two designated players, and they're unquestionably on paper the two best DPs in club history as well. Navajo currently sitting on 11 goals, 3 assists, 7 goals if we're taking out the penalties as well. So Mark, right now, he's on 14 goal contributions. I'd love for him to tie to match that Diego Rubio number of, I think it was 21-22 in the 2022 season that Diego Rubio got. If he got to 20, I'd be perfectly happy with it. Navajo has already scored more goal contributions this year than a number of DP strikers who are also in their first full season in MLS, who cost MLS teams way more than $3.5 million, or I guess 4 for including the loan fee as well. So all good stuff going on there. Listeners, Colorado Rapids officially confirmed on Sunday morning, that Lamine Diok has that his loan has been terminated, and he is back with FC Nantes. I was at training on Tuesday, and on Friday did not see him. Mark, my understanding is if he's not already back in France, he has gotten on a plane back to the other side of the Atlantic. Anything else that we want to say, Rabbi? I mean, we've said our piece and how we felt about Diok. He will be a footnote in the Colorado Rapids Annals of History. But more importantly, Mark, you've got a spreadsheet and some notes on what this can mean financially for the club. What are those numbers? What could we see the Pids doing that summer with money that is no longer being allocated for Lamine Diok?
Yeah, I think Lamine Diok will be remembered in the same, not quite in the same boat as Zat Knight, who was one of the worst signings the team ever had, but maybe more in the kind of memory of like Yannick Bolli, a guy who we paid a lot of money and didn't do a lot with it. I think Yannick Bolli's ultimate contribution was 2 PK goals, no goals from the run of play. That's my memory. It might have been 1 PK goal, to be honest. The cash,
I think it was
flow,
1-1, Mark, because I think he scored it was him and Nicky Jackson who scored in that game that was the 2-0 win against Minnesota, where then Tommy Smith like almost fought the entire Minnesota coaching staff
game.
In their technical area. I think Yannick Bolli scored a non-PK in that game, or it might have been in friendly. In any case,
nice.
Not a lot of goals for Yannick Bolli, and not a lot of minutes for Lamine Diok.
With Lamine, Lamine Diak moving on. The Colorado Rapids officially have only 27 players listed on the roster. They've now released a player who was earning just over the maximum budget charge. He was being paid down slightly by TAM. So now that means that a little bit of TAM is freed up, plus one whole roster spot at the full budget charge availability of $683,750. That all goes into the overall amount that the Rapids could spend on the budget. So the Rapids have spent roughly $9 million of what, if you added up their cap, their GAM, their TAM, plus the money that they got added to GAM from the trade for Andrew Gutman, and the trade for Jasper Lofels, and the trade for international slot, the Rapids have roughly $10,980,000. So they've got maybe $1.7 million to play with. There were two players that I'm not entirely sure whether their money hits the cap or not. So that's interesting. That's all. That means that realistically, because once you go, some of that money could be GAM or TAM, or some of it could be under the cap, depending on how you slice it. But ultimately, the Rapids have really enough money to buy one expensive-ish TAM player or two kind of mid-grade players. Or, of course, because they have three DPs, and all of them are on under $2 million, there is the possibility that if they wanted to break the bank for a fabulous player, they could move one of those three players to a TAM contract. That's unlikely. It would be hard to do. They would have to they'd have to squeeze every bit out of their remaining TAM and maybe move some other pieces around. But I do think the most interesting thing out of this is that the Rapids have effectively an open roster spot or two. They don't have to fill them all, but the way I'm looking at it, they have 17 players on the senior roster, and there's a minimum of 18 players required. So they may not disclose who goes up, but they may have to move a player from the supplemental roster up, which would open up a place at the bottom of the roster for another player from R2 or something else to be moved up. So there's a little bit of movement here. They will probably have to add someone to the roster. It's unclear who that might be. That's what's going on. I think my take with this, I think with the Rapids moving towards a playoff spot at the end, I think a Sebastian Letou circa 2016 signing makes a lot of sense. Sebastian Letou, of course, a winger striker type who was a veteran MLS player. He came over from Philadelphia. He's the kind of guy you could bring off the bench in the 75th minute who might be able to give you an assist or a goal. He was a veteran. He was confident and comfortable in MLS. So I think that that's a kind of a good play. So you start looking at teams that are floundering at the bottom and have, price players available. Those are the kind of, players and teams that you might be looking at. So you're thinking of Sporting Kansas City, you're thinking of Austin, you're thinking of a few other teams that are kind of New England players who might be in a position to offload and have some valuable assets that the Rapids might be able to poach who could be helpful in a playoff run. So those are my thoughts about where the Rapids might move in the next month if they do anything at all.
Good stuff there, Mark. To your point, I'm not sure if the spreadsheet from a roster standpoint includes guys who are on loan, but I know I've liked, at least from what I've seen highlight reel-wise, from Emery Cabral with Phoenix Rising, so I wouldn't mind him coming back and having another kind of role. Of course, we both floated or tried to speak into existence the club bringing back favored son, fourth-round draft pick Dominic Baggi, and that then freeing up the opportunity for the Rapids to go pursue a loan move for Darren Yapi to go down to the USL Championship. I was spitballing with just if you were to drop $1 million in GAM or plus equivalent assets for one of those big mid-season level MLS transfers, getting a Kellen Acosta, acquiring or selling a Mark Anthony Kay, what kind of player would I want the Rapids to go get, Mark? I keep looking at that left wing position of just a foil to Kevin Cabral, or at least a cheaper option to him. And so I would not mind the Rapids going and getting Bernard Camungo from FC Dallas if he somehow becomes available. He's 22. FC Dallas usually doesn't sell guys for less than at or above their market value. I think they're at the point, they're the closest thing an MLS team has to like an Ajax or a Southampton tax at this point. And we know FC Dallas does not have a good track record in terms of selling FC Dallas players to the Rapids and then that aging well for FC Dallas. So I don't think that'll happen, but hey, a ginger could dream.
Nice.
You know, I think if we're just looking at positionally, Mark, I think the Occam's razor view would be then going through that other short list of D-mids who you pursued Diak as opposed to other options and getting another position for that, or I think Porik Fran and Chris to sit down and have a discussion. Do we like what we have at the double pivot? Is there another position that we want to go for? Because then that frees up. You could go spend Mark international slot, U22 slot on a center back. If Bombito ends up getting sold, maybe you've got money to then splash a transfer fee, money in, money out on Bombito, either with the GAM or with the cash that gets distributed that's left over from that. Or you go get a winger or you go get a number six. I think those are the three positions the Rapids are really looking at. Certainly, I don't think you get someone else at another midfield position. You're not bringing in another striker. Not to be a backup to Navajo to then free up Darren Yapi to play somewhere else positionally or geographically. So that's what I'm looking for. But, you know, Mark, I think the two big dominoes that we automatically had going into this Rapid summer transfer window of do they pick up the option of Navajo or renegotiate? And the same thing with Diak. We've already solved that. And we've solved that, you know, with before the window technically is opened officially. So we'll see what happens. I wouldn't expect it to be as busy of a window. If there is a move, I think it'll be mid-level to fill up a cracks, or it's going to be the Rapids taking a big swing at a position where I think they feel they're already in a position of strength and they could get away with it. You know, spending a bunch of money and a U22 slot on a center back who's coming in from another league and then taking some time to adjust, you can maybe get away with that because Lalas Abubakar's done well enough. And you've got other options there, Mike Edwards and others. Last thing we'll mention, Mark, earlier today, the MLS All-Star Game roster dropped. And surprisingly, it was not Moise Mumbito, it wasn't Georgie Mihailovic or Cole Bassett. It was Mr. Rapid himself, Captain Keegan Rosenberry, who were representing the Burgundy Boys. He is the first Rapids player to be on the MLS All-Star team since 2017 when Tim Howard represented the club in Chicago, Illinois, and it is Keegan's second appearance with the MLS All-Star team. He represented as a member of the Philadelphia Union when they hosted the MLS All-Star game. I can't remember what year it was. It was in a press release earlier today. Mark, both of us were a little bit surprised at this. I think if you look at the logic of how Wilfred Nancy, Columbus Crew head coach, coach of the MLS All-Stars, went about selecting his 16 players. He tended towards, he picked five Crew players in his 16, and then he also picked a midfielder from Montreal. So I do think there was some hometown favoritism to the Rapids fans who might be upset about that. I should point out Clint Irwin was an unused sub and an MLS All-Star for Pablo Mascherini in 2015. So this goes both ways. And then after that, Mark, he tended towards not necessarily favoring players, but favoring teams that had done well, and then giving it a player who then represented that team in a really good way. So, for example, Mark, the only three MLS teams that are currently right now in a playoff spot that did not get an All-Star are Seattle Sounders, who are in the last spot in the Western Conference, and then in the East, it's fourth place New York Red Bulls, and I think sixth place Charlotte as well. And if I look at those three teams, Mark, I don't know if there's an obvious player who stands out, given that if you were to look at a Jordan Morris who's scoring goals for a rather anemic offense, or a who's the German guy coming over from the other Red Bulls team on New York Red Bulls, I can't remember his name, but both of those are at positions where the team's already stacked, whether it was commissioner picks or team voting as well. So I think it's disappointing that Georgie didn't get in given his numbers, but you know, he's competing with he's competing with Hani Mukhtar, he's competing with, let me look up the roster since I don't have it in front of me. Great planning here, Matt. You should have had this up. We're leaving this in, Mark. This is normally something I would cut and then also time really well in terms of making it sound seamless. But here's my mistake. So if I'm just looking at Mark, you know, Cole Bassett and Georgie Mihailovic were competing, you know, with Luciano Acosta. They were competing with Ryan Gold. Hector Herrera was a commissioner's pick as well. Hani Mukhtar, Robin Ludd, who I think certainly deserves merit as well. And then Ricky Pooch as well. So those positions were kind of heavy. Unsurprisingly, oh, and then Evander as well was a coach's pick. Like, I don't think the, I think all of those players were deserving. I think if there was a, if there was one more spot and it didn't go to a Rapids player, I'd really want to hear Wolf Renanti's argument with it. So I think he got down, Mark, you know, to the end of the roster, filling out his midfield, filling out his forward picks, seeing who Commissioner Don Garber was going to pick. And then it's like the, okay, who are the teams who've done well? Who's a player who's maybe unsung or earned an opportunity with that? And maybe to a certain extent, Mark, because, you know, Keegan, you know, he was relatively young in his time with Philadelphia when he was an all-star with them. He then went on to be an Iron Man for Philly, an Iron Man for the Rapids. Is this almost not like a career achievement award? It's not, you know, because Keegan's not retiring anytime soon, but it's, hey, Keegan, you've been a reliable player for two different MLS teams that are relatively workmanlike. You've been emblematic with that, and I see leadership skills in you as a captain. You know, this is kind of a, you know, this is a thank you for that in the same way that, like, you know, a call up for Camp Cupcake and getting one USMNT cap for Keegan Rosenberry when he has no chance at making a World Cup squad. I put those in kind of the same category as well. And I think it was emblematic in the video that the Rapids put out that, you know, Keegan was brought in to do like a fan ad read or whatever, and he was kind of like, it was a candid camera, like, pranked with it, and he kind of said, like, no, that can't be real, this is a joke. And then Chris Armas comes in with a number 24 all-star jersey, hands it to him, he's like, the, no, this can't be real, like, the, like, Keegan Rosenberry thought he was getting punked by Ashton Kutcher in this moment. And then when he finally, you know, when the news and the reality finally settled in, he said, super humble. There are other guys in the locker room that are way more deserving. And maybe on some way, Mark, that is kind of more proof that Keegan kind of deserved this. But yeah, you know, also, like, he's made some mistakes defensively. The team's still working on a lot of stuff. He's maybe not as good of a right back as he's been previously with the Rapids as well. But, you know, as Landon Donovan would like to say, you know, when the LA Galaxy were playing well and he was captain, and they won a game, but he didn't, he played like crap, he'd get a lot of credit because he was the captain. And when he played really well, but they ended up losing, he would also get a lot of the stick as the captain. So maybe he's getting some of that. It should have been Cole, or it should have been Georgie, or it should have been Moise Bombito. I should say the two center backs that got in on the vote were Justin Glad, which I think is fair, Mark. And then also, Miles Robinson also made it in as well. And I do have to think maybe Wilfer Nancy is also thinking that I, you know, if I give it to Moise, then we're going to have to call somebody else up because Moise Bombito might not be in MLS come July 24th when the All-Star game happens. So I'm fine with it. There were other players who were more deserving, Mark. I am a Keegan Rosenberry apologist, so I am happy in this moment, but I can understand where Keegan feels humbled by it. Other players felt they were more deserving, and other fans thought there was another Rapids player deserving, given how well the Rapids have been playing, and thus deserved having an MLS All-Star representative.
We were talking at work the other day about famous actors who had Oscars for surprising things, and the best version of this is Al Pacino. Matt, what does Al Pacino have an Oscar for?
What does Al Pacino have an Oscar for?
What movie did he get an Oscar in?
Was he?
You can go with the obvious ones just to see if maybe it's possibly one of those.
Was Al Pacino the dad or the grandfather in, like, Cheaper by the Dozen? Was it a random movie that, like,
no,
I wouldn't even think?
It's not quite that random, but, like, think of, let me say it this way. Think of Al Pacino's best movies, right? Godfather, Godfather 2.
Yeah.
Serpico, Dog Day Out. No, he wasn't in Dog Day Afternoon. He's Heat, right? He's in Heat. What else?
I think so.
There's a couple other movies, like
People I Know.
Glenn Ross, right? He's been in a lot of amazing movies, right?
Scent of a Woman.
That's not a great movie, and that's what he has an Oscar for.
Okay,
that's the amazing thing. So I think that's kind of like my broader point, which is like, sometimes actors get Oscars for not their best work. Keegan Rosenberry has spent a career in Major League Soccer doing really great things, and he is getting recognized in 2024, which is probably not his best year. I don't think he ranks in the top 10 for fullbacks in Major League Soccer this year, but he's getting kind of a Lifetime Achievement Award. The other thing is that Keegan Rosenberry is incredibly versatile and incredibly consistent. And he also, in terms of what you might want on the bench for an MLS All-Star game, like a guy who is reliable in the pass, who is fast but not really fast, and is incredibly good defensively, to bring on in the 75th minute to kind of like hold down the lead over the Liga MX Stars, I think he's a very good call. He's a very good pick. So, you know, yes, I think it's a reward for a player who's done a good thing, and I think your shout about Drew Moore is a great shout. That like it's kind of like a reward for a guy doing a good thing. And you know, again, I think the other thing that's really interesting is Wilfred Nancy has been held up after what he has accomplished with Columbus the last two seasons as one of MLS's smartest minds. Who are you and I, a bunch of knucklehead basement-dwelling podcasters, to question the great Wilfred Nancy on his motives? Especially when we like, ultimately, the result of that. Most importantly for me, I just love the idea of Keegan Rosenberry, a guy you and I have talked to regularly, and who is as sweet as apple pie, just the nicest guy in the world, and a great interview, just sitting between Luis Suarez and Leo Messi and Sergio Busquets in the locker room as they discuss how they're going to go about it. I like the idea that Lionel Messi will now need to know who Keegan Rosenberry is. I think that's really fun.
I don't know who does photography for like the All-Star game. Mark, to like individual teams, are they allowed to send like their staff, or is it a crew person, or is it an MLS person, or whatever? Nice. But yes, like the one, you know, 30-minute training session of like the, hey, here's roughly how we're going to play. Well, for Nancy, you know, here's our tactics. Here's who to worry about for the Liga MX All-Stars. And then here's my sub plan for the second half. In whatever session they have, I look forward to the photographer who's doing photos for B-roll for that. Like, candidly, like when there's a drill waiting over, like, getting Keegan Rosenberry's attention as he's waiting in line for something, having him scooch over two spots so that Keegan is looking at the camera and there's a photo in which Keegan is in the frame and Lionel Messi is in the frame so that you can say Keegan got a picture with the GOAT. So I think I was laughing with somebody at training the other day, Mark. It was weird how so many Rapids fans were upset. Like they were upset that Diok didn't work, but the result was Oliver LaRoz being fantastic when he was a homegrown. You know, that Rapids fans have clamored to get an opportunity and wanting to see him succeed. And it's weird that like fans saw that and was like, well, that means Diok's a bust, or that the front office got it wrong with his acquisition and everything. Like, we had been clamoring for years that there was no meritocracy when it came to the All-Star game, and that it was all big money players on big money teams and everything, and that even when mid-market teams did well, the only people who ever got rewarded were like the domestic Americans, like Matt Beisler and Graham Zusi on Sporting Kansas City, and the Rapids couldn't get an All-Star pick and everything. And so how much of this, Mark, is either karma or Wilfred Nancy or someone at the league realizing, you know, we should have given it to Diego Rubio, we shouldn't have given it to Kai Kamara at some point, and we can't do that now retroactively. Let's give it to Keegan Rosenberry because he's a nice guy and because we've got a little bit of depth issue at fullback. So to the Cole Bassett stands who are upset about this, listeners, I look forward to Cole when he gets sold in a year and a half to Europe and then comes back 8 years later and is playing with the Rapids and is turning into like Luka Modric on Real Madrid, where he can barely run but he's still good on the ball and everything, just saucing the ball around off the bench at 34 years old, that Cole Bassett gets an MLS USMNT American Lifetime Achievement Award by getting to come off the bench in the 2036. Now, Cole's going to be retired by then, maybe. How old's Cole, Mark? 34? The 2034 MLS All-Star game held in Las Vegas, that Cole Bassett will get to come off the bench and play in that game alongside LA Galaxy's Kylian Mbappe. All right, Amazing. Mark, let's talk about it. Listeners, this past Saturday, the Colorado Rapids went in to BMO Stadium and they played LAFC, and it was super hyped and they came out with a lot of energy and were super aggressive and tried to play LAFC straight up, and they lost 3-0 and they finished the game down a man. LAFC was the better team through the opening 20 minutes. I liked the energy and the intent in terms of pressing and not sitting back against LAFC to open the game. But as Chris Armas mentioned, there was maybe not a communication issue. The game plan for what they wanted to do and how they started the game were not fully in alignment. Keegan Rosenberry described the approach or the emotional response to that and the adrenaline as the team being a little bit naive, which I think was a fair and measured criticism of the way the team handled it. And they tried to correct it, and then they made a mistake, and then LAFC scored a goal. 20 minutes in, Bogush, there's space in the midfield for Ilya Sanchez, who threads a perfect ball to Denny Bawanga, and both of the fullbacks get burned. Sam Vines loses the foot race with Denny Bawanga, and then Lulz Bubakar and Keegan Rosenberry backtracking to try and beat Bogush in the ball, or beat Bogush to the back post, and they did neither of those, and Bogush had a tap-in. After that, I really liked the response that we saw from the Rapids, who were much better in their pressing. The passing was much sharper. They were a little bit frantic on that mark for me. If this was a hockey game, Rabbi, I would almost have described the opening 20 minutes of what the Rapids did in possession as them clenching their sticks a little bit too tight and just passing being a little bit off, too much energy, quick decisions, not a lot of accuracy. That improved after the goal, which was a nice little response, and that resulted in a lot of chances and a lot of set pieces. They didn't do a whole lot of that, a whole lot with that in terms of converting it into chances on goal. Surprise, Kai Kamara, who was a centerpiece for the Rapids on set pieces for Chris Sharpie, was in a good defensive position and maybe had anticipated what they were going to do and made a bunch of defensive clearances on those moments. There was a point in late in the second half where the Rapids had five consecutive corners. They didn't score on that, and that kind of proved to haunt the Rapids come full-time. And then also, more so in the first half, in terms of numbers, more effective or more significant in terms of the end result, in the second half, the Rapids did get a little emotional and were lacking in discipline and got a couple yellow cards, a harsh foul by Kevin Cabral in the first half that could have been a red, off the ball from Rafael Navajo as well, an emotional yellow card that maybe would have been out of frustration that we have not seen a lot from the Rapids. We'll get to that when we get to bad thing. For me, we get into the second half mark, and LAFC resumes the second half like they started the first half, and ultimately it was a crazy sequence from like the 49th minute to the 62nd minute, where you had Kai Kamara have a breakaway challenged by Lulz Bubakar, and Stefan makes a save. Georgi Mihailovic has a chance that Hugo Lloris saves really, really well. Mihailovic has a PK shout that goes to VAR, and nothing comes of that as well. And then Bogush scores on a loose ball in the box to make it 2-0 and cap that off all in the 59th minute with Kevin Cabral pulling on Bogush's shirt in transition. Tactical foul, second yellow card, Rapids reduced down to 10 men. Bogus makes it a hat trick as he and Bawanga have a great 1-2 to round Sam Vines in the 72nd minute. I think everything else after that is relatively academic, only really worth pointing out that Michael Edwards subbed on and brought some energy to the game. And even though it was garbage time and the team wasn't playing for anything, he came in and was like, hey, these are my minutes. I'm going to do something and try to impact the game or show the coach that I'm excited about this opportunity. So hooray for Mike Edwards. But so, Mark, for all the hype and all the energy about this being a barometer test, I think this is the realization that the Rapids are probably mid-table. Mark, where do you want to start with your recap of Saturday's 3-0 loss to the Black and Gold?
Well, I think the scoreline was farther apart than the game appeared. I didn't think the Rapids were that bad, and they had some really nice stretches and some nice moments, some nice shots on goal that were turned away. But ultimately, this game was effectively LAFC scoring a really fantastic goal early. I mean, the Bawanga goal to Bogush, you described it as, well, you know, they got beat to the back post on the right side, Keegan and Lawless. And I don't think you're wrong about that. But I also think that, like, the way LAFC erupted out of the midfield off of the Ilya pass, the speed at which they attacked, and the fact that the Rapids had kind of pushed their midfielders, their defensive midfielders, up a little bit, and LAFC cut through them like a hot knife. It was up to the back line, the back four of the Rapids, to run as fast as they could and hold their shape while kind of like maintaining some sort of defensive positioning on their players. And LAFC just executed a fast break about as well as anybody. It was like an NBA level fast break where, you know, it was like, Kareem to Magic to Worthy, slam dunk. That's a very LA reference for middle-aged men. There was nothing you could do about it. And at that point, from then on, it was basically the Rapids on the back foot trying to recover, and they never did. You know, they had a couple of nice looks from minute 20 to minute 45, but mostly LAFC were still in control of the game. And then by the in the second half, LAFC kind of put their foot down on the pedal and just kept going. That second goal was also gorgeous. And then the third goal was really just a Kai Kamara, Mateusz Bogusz 1-2. It was really pretty and really simple. Mm-hmm. I think the Rapids could have done better on both the second and the third goals. The red card from Cabral was dumb. There wasn't a good replay of it because the angle wasn't great. So, but it was clear that the referee implied that, you know, when you grab a guy by the arm, with your arms and you yank him in the chest to pull him down, and you're already on a yellow, and it's a breakaway situation, you're going to get that call. Like that's going to go against you every time. So that was all she wrote. I mean, I think you're right, essentially. I don't disagree with you in that, like, this was a, the Rapids are probably not a top of the table level team, but I actually don't think you necessarily had to conclude that from this game. You could say that, the Rapids conceded that first goal and then they were kind of hard up against it whole game. But if they don't concede that first goal, these two teams might match up very neatly. I do think LAFC do look very, very good. They move the ball very crisply and very cleanly. Their first touches are a little bit better than the Rapids' first touches have been most of the year, with maybe the exception of Georgi Mihailovic when he's been really, really crisp. I think Georgi Mihailovic and Cole Bassett could play for LAFC, could start for LAFC, mm-hmm. and then I think the rest of the roster is probably better than the rest of the Rapids roster. I think the other thing that you could say is this was the first time in four games where Lalas Abubakar didn't quite level up to his opposition. In the previous games, you know, the Rapids had three wins in a row, and Lalas played all of them, and he was very good in all of those matches. So this is the first time that I've said, like, Lalas may have cost them a goal in one of these situations. But overall, you know, that happens, and I'm okay with it, and we'll move on. And we've got two opponents coming up who are much, much softer. You just need to rebound against them.
I'll add a third player there, Rabbi, in terms of a normal Rapid starter who I think could start for LAFC. I would take Moise Bumbito over Murillo right now.
Yes, but he wasn't in this game. But yes, you're right.
Yes, 100%. Fair. So I guess just other notes as well, Rabbi, you know, I think the tough part about this one that unfortunately feeds in the narrative of now six games at LAFC in club history and six losses and what an aggregate, a combined aggregate score of what 17-2 at this point is that LAFC might be the best team in MLS when they're playing downhill or when they're up a man, you know, cause like Inter Miami can sit back a little bit. We know they're weaker defensively and, you know, you're not getting a lot of press if the opponent then tries to possess the ball and put numbers forward. Now, when they go in transition, when Messi decides to have one of his three or four sprints a game, they're dangerous. I think Cincinnati has weaknesses, right, at least right now, with Miles Robinson being out for both USMNT competitions, and then certainly Columbus Crew have had some injuries, and they just lost Aiden Morris as well. Like, I don't know that there's another team when they go up 1-0 thinks then, I don't know that there's a team at home in MLS goes up 1-0 in the first half and then is in a better position to make it 2-0 before halftime. LAFC is the best team for that. And unfortunately, that played exactly into the Rapids' weakness. That being said, I want to give Chris Armas some credit here. I liked the approach overall, Mark. Like, early, I liked the ideas in terms of the principle and how they wanted to go about attacking LAFC and start it. It was just the execution. And so I'm wondering there, based on what he said post-game and based on Keegan using the term naive in his opening statement for that as well. Like, what was lost in that? Like, did the Rapids just go out there, see the Falcons, see LAFC, and it's like, all right, like, we're going to take them down. We're going to be the first team to beat LAFC. And then the adrenaline kicks in, and then they're just chickens with their head cut off, or they're not thinking collectively, to use another Keegan quote as well. Now, Chris Armas, I think, quickly tried to fix it, and then Ilya made one pass and surprise, you know, LAFC is really, really good in transition. So I don't think there's any shame in losing at LAFC. I don't think there's any shame in the approach they have. The game caught away from them, and the Rapids did not control what they could control very well. They lost, if you talk about circles of control, Mark, they let their emotions get the best of them. That led to some dumb yellow cards, including two dumb yellow cards for one player, at which point it was still 1-0, and the Rapids were still in it. Like, the, you know, they could have gotten a set piece, and then if Georgie finds, you know, Lawless or pull on a header or anything, it's 1-0 in the 55th and the 60th minute. You know, the Bogusz second goal didn't come until
I don't have that in front of me, unfortunately. It was certainly by the, I think it was before the second yellow, if I'm not mistaken. So before the 62nd. So, you know, like at halftime, Mark, even though LAFC was up, it wasn't like you were saying that the Rapids were clearly the lesser team. And in the 60th minute, it seemed like the game was still hanging in the balance. The Rapids needed to convert on one of those big chances. Cabral had that header that he wasn't able to put on goal, or I think that maybe Lloris ended up saving. I thought this game, Mark, needed one of the individual players for the Rapids to, I think, grab the game by the scruff of the neck and try and create offense. And I think Georgi Mihailovic tried to do that. Hugo Lloris made a fantastic save. That could be a nominee for save of the week in MLS. So, you know, I think it was a good performance from Georgi. But let's turn on to the discipline side, Mark, where I just think it wasn't good enough from Kevin Cabral. I understand he was frustrated that the team was losing and that there's a significance that he has given the French players on LAFC, given the how he felt about LAFC as a member of LA Galaxy for 2 years and coming there, not getting a lot of the ball, not really getting space in behind Palacios to really go and do the things that he does well. And I think Sam Vines had his hands full in terms of what he was doing defensively that Kevin Cabral had to drop back and try to help with that. And that's something that Kevin's willing to do. That's not where he finds joy in the game. And so Kevin found no joy in the game. The team found no joy in the game. And Kevin responded to that by going in for a studs up tackle, which could have been a red if he had landed it. He didn't. It was just a yellow. That was uncharacteristic for him. And then kind of a frustration foul where, you know, I don't think that, you know, Bogush is fast. I don't know that he's faster than Cabral. I don't know that even if Bogush has a step on him, Cabral thinking rather than I need to foul because it's still 1-0, 60th minute into the game, or 59th, excuse me. 62nd, excuse me, that, you know, like I could catch up to Bogush and the team is still in a defensive position where they could end up snuffing out this opportunity in transition. And so that was a teachable moment for Kevin Cabral. I do think that it is worth pointing out, Mark, that we'd seen in years past under Robin Fraser, Anthony Hudson, and Pablo Mastroianni, Rapids teams get frustrated, particularly when they seem to think that the officiating was going against their way. I don't think Chris Penso was biased in favor of LAFC in this game, where they lose their head and then the MLS ref decides, okay, it's a yellow card fest right now. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, the Rapids have 4 or 5 yellow cards on the score sheet. You know, this was just, I think the Rapids had 29 yellow cards now across what, 22, 23 games played. They are third to last in terms of yellow cards committed this season. And Kevin Cabral's red card was their first red card that they've gotten. I don't have the stat in front of me, but Chris Armas said they were very good relative to the rest of the league in terms of committing penalties, and they've been very good at drawing penalties. So while it is a negative that the Rapids lost their cool and were undisciplined, and that contributed to their downfall, that exacerbated it, I do think it is worth then pointing out that this is the first game we've seen them do that. We're almost 2/3 way through the season at this point, and for the most part, they've been a very disciplined team, and that's a massive improvement on where they were last year in multiple regards, and that's worth pointing out. Last thing that I'll say on this game is that fundamentally, it was a reality check. You know, the Rapids were coming in 3-game winning streak off of, you know, a week off to get rested, to get their legs back in them, and they beat 3 teams that we don't think are very good, and they went and they played a very good team, and they had some good tactical ideas in terms of what they were going to do. They didn't do a great job executing it, and they made small mistakes that ultimately they got punished for, and Armas had a substitution plan that was potentially going to change the game, and then a mistake happened, which then made that more difficult. Just like with Cincinnati, he had a triple sub, a line change planned, and then Cincinnati scored on a set piece, I believe, and that made it 2-0, and then they had a sub plan, and it was going to be Kevin Cabral who was going to come off at the next stoppage, and the next stoppage was Kevin Cabral committing a foul on Bogush and getting a second yellow card and getting sent off as well. So there's no shame in losing to LAFC or losing to FC Cincinnati. There's a lot of good in the ways that they ended up losing. And hopefully, listeners, these are little teachable moments and little mistakes that will lead to lessons learned that will be implemented. So when the Rapids have another situation like this, hosting Real Salt Lake at the end of the month, playing some other big games, playing in a road playoff game, that they're going to be better for it because of this. But yeah, this does confirm the Rapids are not the best team in the MLS Western Conference, and they'd be lucky to finish top 4. And if they finish 6th, I'd be really happy. Mark, anything else you want to say about this LAFC game, or shall we move on?
No, you covered it well, and I thought it was, you know, like, we'll move on, we'll be okay.
So, listeners, this coming Thursday, 4th of July, America's birthday, the Colorado Rapids will be taking on Sporting Kansas City. This will be the first game between these two
MLS original rivals in MLS play. Rapids currently sitting fourth in the Western Conference, 31 points off of 21 games played. They have a record of 9-8-4. They have a goal difference of +3, and at home this season, they are 5-2-2. Sporting Kansas City sitting 13th, so second to last in the West, 17 points off of 21 games played. They have a record of 4-12-5, a goal difference of -11, and away from Children's Mercy Park this season, they are 1-7-2. St. Louis City, just one spot above them, they're in 12th, 19 points off of 20 games played, 3 wins, 7 losses, 10 draws, a goal difference of -8, and St. Louis City are 0-4-5 on the road this season. So let's start with Sporting Kansas City, Mark. Most listeners will be familiar with them. Johnny Russell, Alan Pulido up top, Eric Tommy cooking in the midfield, and otherwise the midfield's kind of meh, and their center backs aren't that great, and Tamilia's old, and John Polskamp's big bear, but not that great. Mark, this team has, Sporting Kansas City, have 2 wins in league play since April 1st. That is a 15-game span, and those 2 wins are home games in a 4-2 bonkers game against Seattle Sounders, who are also bad, and most recently, a 2-0 win over Austin FC, who are also bad, who the Rapids also beat 2-0, who the Rapids probably should have beaten them 4-0, and Josh Wolf is probably about to get fired. They have an old, stale roster for me, Mark. I think, once again, this is a bad year for Sporting Kansas City, in which I would say that general manager, front office person, Peter Vermees, is letting down head coach Peter Vermees. And really, Mark, other than Eric Tommy, I would say there's nobody right now who I feel confident like should be safe right now in terms of the club valuing them, the club not being willing to move on from them this summer, get out of their contract in the winter, or upgrade at that position as well. They haven't done a great job recently in terms of bringing in some of their homegrowns as well. You know, they sold Gianluca Busio a few years ago. Who is it? Cameron Lindsay moved on to Charlotte as well, where he's getting minutes as well. And Mark, this team's gotten kind of lost in terms of what they are stylistically. They play Peter Vermees' 4-3-3. They're a little too old to press. They're not talented enough to really be in possession. The Steam League's goals, they pass the ball to Eric Tommy. He tries to create something, and one of their decent but not elite strikers sometimes scores, and sometimes it's Eric Tommy scoring a banger against Inter Miami in a sold-out Arrowhead. Mark, what do we make of Sporting Kansas City? Is this going to be a grinded-out 1-0 game for the Rapids, or are we once again going to see MLS 96 Fight Club, even though Lucas Estevez isn't here anymore?
So, it's a trap game for the Rapids, in the sense that when you play a team that's really bad and has just a couple of wins, you're expected to win. And so the Rapids are kind of going into this one with a lot of expectations. I do think that after the LAFC game, they'll be looking to rebound. And so they're probably better off going into this game off of a loss than they are coming out of the 3 wins they had before that, because they'll be a little bit hungry, they'll be a little bit excited. The one challenge is, of course, it's a midweek game with a Sunday game coming around, so you're going to start to think about like a little bit of squad rotation. That being said, the Rapids have done a bunch of squad rotation over the last couple wins, and they've done very well rotating their squad. You know, Sebastian Anderson played a game, Jackson Travis played a game, LaRaz has played, you know, They've kind of cycled through Omir Fernandez. There's a lot of potential and a lot of different options here. I think missing Moise Bombito is still going to be trouble for this week. I think we kind of could use him back. That being said, what is up with Sporting Kansas City? Well, my take is Alan Pulido has lost a step. Sionis hasn't come good as their big signing on the left wing. Johnny Russell is still Johnny Russell. I don't think he's actually lost a step at all. But I also think Willy Agata has been hurt and hasn't played. They got rid of Guy Kinda after he had 2 somewhat injury-shortened years. But I really like the quality that he brought, the speed that he brought, the possession that he brought overall. I do like Radoja. He's their Nemanja Radoja, their Serbian midfielder. But this is, I think you said it really well and really simply, this is a slightly older roster that is, I don't know why they composed themselves this way and thought this was a good idea. Radoja, 31 years old. Pulido, 33 years old. Their left wing, Tim Liebold, 30 years old. Tim Melia, their goalkeeper, 38 years old. Daniel Rosero, their center back, 30 years old. This is a really kind of like this is a roster where if you put the only way to put them to the sword is to outrun them. And the Colorado Rapids are about as good at outrunning teams as anyone. I mean, it is well known that Cole Bassett has covered more yards, more miles than any other player in the league. It is well known that Moise Bombito is the fastest man in Major League Soccer as a center back. They've got some young players, some fast players up and down the roster. If the Rapids go into this match looking to use their lungs and their speed against Sporting Kansas City and deny Sporting Kansas City and Peter Vermes their preferred method of playing, which is possession soccer, kind of slowing it down, grinding it out slowly. If the Rapids can dictate terms in this match, they will be okay. I also think with the Rapids being at home, they will be good at dictating terms. The week after that, or a couple days after that, they'll get St. Louis. St. Louis will be a similar experience because they beat St. Louis handily a few games ago, and they will be able to beat St. Louis handily in Colorado. So we have high expectations going into this week.
Yeah, the only thing that really has me trepidations about this game, Mark, you know, to your point, this would be more of a trap game, I think, if Sporting Kansas City had lost to Austin, because then it's the, okay, like, we're at home, we played a bad team that's been playing bad, that's bad on the road, and we couldn't even beat them. So I think there'd be even more impetus had Sporting Kansas City not gotten a result over the weekend. And similarly, as we've seen, Chris Armas has done a very good job. When the Rapids have a bad performance or get blown out in a game, they respond to that in terms of performance and a mentality standpoint. So to your point, like, I literally, like, the game plan, it shouldn't be about tactics or attacking an individual or what are we doing on set pieces and everything. Like, let's go there and let's turn this into a track meet and let's run these old men off the pitch who are absolutely gassed at 60 minutes playing at altitude. To your point about the roster build here, Mark, you know, like, I'm not seeing a homegrown whose, like, name jumps out to me given how much I pay attention to this stuff. They've only got two according to their player page. Caden Pierce, who I've never heard of, who's a defender, and then also Jake Davis as well. And then they're only U22 players. They've got two of them, so they're not even using all of them. Robert Bolliger, one of their center backs. Mark, I think we can agree, like, is the last center back signing that Peter Vermes got right as a former Colorado Rapids center back, I should point out, were like Aurelien Collin and Matt Beisler. Like, it, like, legitimate argument. Like, have the Rapids brought in an international center back who's been good for them in the last 8 years? Like, that's an indictment of their approach from that standpoint. And then their only other U22 player who is the Cyprus forward, Mariano Chianis. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. He's mid, he's fine, he'd be better than Darren Yapi on the Rapids, but that's really about it. So Mark, I think the Rapids refocus and they use their frustrations from Saturday, rely on the energy from the crowd, and I think they come in, Sporting Kansas City will be in a defensive posture, and I think they just out energy them, put them to the sword, total siege mentality. They score early and end up winning this game. Sporting Kansas City does have a good history of coming here and grinding games out. I feel like all of these games, Mark, for me, are either like 0-0 where the home team was on the front foot and the defending team sees it as a point gain, or it's a 1-0 victory in a close game, or like I've mentioned earlier, like this thing goes off and it's just yellow cards and eventually red cards. I do not think we'll see that from the Rapids, given how much Chris Armas will be emphasizing discipline tomorrow and Wednesday in team meetings. I think the Rapids win this one 2-0. I think Rafael Navajo gets to eat in this situation. And give me Omir Fernandez, I think, getting back into the starting 11 and scoring as well. And I like an assist from Georgi Mihailovic. Mark, you had a hand up, like you had something to say.
Oh, I was just going to say that they got it really right with Ike Opara at center back.
That's fair.
I don't know how that's my take, but he was the MLS Defender of the Year. And then he suffered a series of injuries, I believe concussion related. The season after, and that kind of basically ended his career. But like, I feel like they have a curse post Ike Opara. Like, they had one of the best defenders in MLS history in Ike Opara, and then it's all been downhill from there. They haven't been able to get it right since then. So that's how the big wheel turns sometimes. But I like the Rapids to win this one 2-0. I like Georgi Mihailovic to get another one. He has 4 goals in the last 4 games. Of course, one's a hat. He had a hat trick in one game, and then one other goal in another game. So, yeah, Matt's like, the math doesn't add up. I'm like, well, you only need 1 goal in 4 games if you get a hat trick in one of them. So,
my brain thought he had 1 goal in each of the last 4 games, and was like, well, the Rapids did score, and then he got a hat trick.
Yeah. Okay.
No, the math is not mathing for me tonight. I apologize, you're good.
The basics of math are this. You can't get a hat trick or score 1 game in each of every one of 4 games if the Rapids don't score a goal in 1 game. That's just not. Anyways, that's my take. I think it's Mihailovic, and I think Cole Bassett. And I think it might be one of those Georgie assists Cole, Cole assists Georgie kind of situations. Although Hoffa's been doing a nice job of setting dudes up, so I really like the idea that he's a facilitator. That's one of the things I like about him as striker for the Rapids.
This is a really good, this is another opportunity, Mark, for I think Chris Armisen, this Rapids team, to kind of put stuff from the past, in particular stuff from last year, behind them with a performance and with a result. Because I feel like, you know, Sporting Kansas City always comes here. Peter Vermes knows the club well. He knows what it's like playing here and everything. As I mentioned just a few minutes ago, you know, these games always seem a little bit close. And when the Rapids are not playing well or having a bad season, Mark, I feel like one of these omens is usually the home game against Sporting Kansas City, the Rapids being the better team and not being able to cash in getting a draw. And then similarly, going there, trying really hard, but then failing at the end to get a result against Sporting Kansas City and SKC coming back to get a result. And so I think this is an opportunity for the Rapids to do that. You combine that with also potentially, you know, Mark, this is the Rapids haven't had a sellout. They had one game that I think was in the 17s. Thousands of people. You know, I feel pretty confident, you know, 4th of July is always going to be sold out. There's a lot of people who, you know, are maybe going to be casual Rapids fans who are going to see a newer and exciting, fun team again that maybe then they could latch on to or pay attention a little bit more to. And this is also an opportunity for, you know, maybe some fans who, you know, didn't renew their season tickets to say, okay, well, I'll go to the 4th of July game because it's the 4th of July game. You know, tailgate's going to be rocking and everything at like 3 o'clock, so this is an opportunity for that. And so maybe then this is an opportunity for the Rapids to show who they are to the casual fan, and then maybe reconnect emotionally and quality wise with fans who've been more distant with them this year because of what happened last year, and to, on top of that, do that and stick it to a longtime MLS rival who's often gotten the better of them, who often has been the model of what the Rapids are trying to achieve as well. And maybe, I don't think this is likely, Mark, but, you know, like if they get a 3-4-0 win or anything, like, is the brass of Sporting Kansas City finally having that conversation? Maybe it's time for Peter Vermes to take a reduced role, or for us to have the conversation, entertain the thought experiment of parting ways with him or reducing his role from a front office standpoint. You know, beating a rival and absolutely destroying them and then causing their head coach to get fired is always absolutely sweet schadenfreude, and the Rapids haven't had the opportunity to do that a lot. One head coach whose dismissal ultimately the Rapids did contribute to, however, was St. Louis City, Mark, who have now parted ways with Bradney Carnell, and this comes after the Colorado Rapids defeated them by a score of 3-0. And then St. Louis City went on to play Vancouver Whitecaps, and they were up 2-0 in the 12th minute, and they ended up losing 4-3. Brian White did a hat trick against them. Bradney Carnell is out. Mark, I should say if there's one thing that's maybe changed in terms of what St. Louis has done recently is they've started scoring a little bit more, and it's been goals by committee. So Edward Leuven is creating chances for other people. That person is not necessarily Joao Klaus, who a lot of STL City Twitter people are a little bit out on right now. So they're spreading the love. There's not immediately a guy who threatens you. At the same time, you don't necessarily have to, you know, those guys can be had, you know, Blom or Thorensen are not as threatening as you might think of being some, you know, a bigger striker or a more prominent winger who's been scoring goals consistently. I'm really curious to see, Mark, what we see from John Hackworth, who is the technical director, who will be taking over as the interim head coach. I think it is highly unlikely that St. Louis City has appointed their next head coach and that person is in position for the game on Sunday. So let me see, Mark. I don't know if St. Louis City are playing for 4th of July, if the MLS schedule would load. St. Louis are playing
on the they're playing on the third, excuse me. So they're playing on the Wednesday. They're hosting San Jose Earthquakes. So maybe, Mark, we see a new coach bump against a bad team, a team that's worse than them in the table, and they get a nice result. But point is, I think John Hackworth is going to come in. I think he's going to stabilize the locker room in terms of just emotionally what the message is, and particularly the voice that's saying it. He's not abandoning what St. Louis tries to do. Unlike Sporting Kansas City, who I think have lost their way tactically, I think St. Louis City are very clearly, they want to press, they want to be aggressive, they want to be Red Bullsy-like, and given the energy that they're at, Mark, and given that they're still creating chances, they're scoring a little bit more, but not against stout, compact defenses and everything. I'm not super worried about this team. I think the Rapids are going to be set up to press and go after and hunt Sporting Kansas City on Thursday. And I think for Sunday, they dial it back a little bit from an energy standpoint, and they focus on being compact defensively and doing a really good job in possession to being press resistant. That's something they did okay against LAFC. That's something that they did masterfully in the reverse fixture back at City Park in Missouri just a couple of weeks ago. I'm not super worried about this team, Mark. The only thing that gives me cause to pause is, are the Rapids set up to be the second team in a 5-game stretch in which St. Louis goes 3-1-1 or 2-1-2, for example, and that's a new coach bump, and then the Rapids are victimized by that. But I think they're set up really well to negate what St. Louis does stylistically. I think they're a very known quantity, and they are a team that I think the Rapids can ultimately be possessive, put under pressure at home, and then force turnovers on and do really well with that. And if the Rapids get a feel-good result and performance on Thursday, I think they'll carry that over. This very well, Mark, could be a 6-point week. At a minimum, I think the Rapids get 4 points this week. What say you, Rabino?
6 points for me, St. Louis. The weird other trap game issue that the Rapids are entering into is, it is never good to face a team right after they fire their coach. Generally, teams like to do something different. They come out with a lot of fire. They're all excited. You know, the new coach likes to shake things up, gives guys a new try, or they play with a different kind of formation or a different kind of energy than they have before. I don't know what St. Louis is going to look like. John Hackworth, you said, is taking over. Hackworth has coached for Philly before. He had some time in USL before that. So that's an interesting... this is an experienced guy taking the wheel. But St. Louis hasn't really fired on all cylinders this season, and it's been a little bit rough. So, there isn't anything significantly different over their team last year. There haven't been major changes to this team. It's mostly the same guys. I think... it's what we refer to in the nerd world as regression to the mean. They were living dangerously last year. Their expected points was far lower than their actual points on the season. They had a number of games, especially early in the year, where teams made critical mistakes against them early on, and they capitalized on them and scored goals off of them. They're not getting those breaks, and, you know, that's regression to the mean. In the long run, said a famous economist named John Maynard Keynes, in the long run, we're all dead. If you average things out over a long stretch of time, the numbers look worse for you. And I think that's what's really going on with them. So it's a bummer that a dude lost his job over that, but the reality is that's life, man. When you live at the top end of the food chain, you're going to get killed by the alpha predators in the world. And that's what it is to be an MLS head coach. I wouldn't mind that paycheck for a couple of years if it ultimately meant that I'd get fired and then have to, sit on my yacht in Qatar for weeks on end pondering the meaning of life. So
I can confirm Robin Fraser at no point was sitting on a yacht in Qatar.
He could. You never know. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
He's not that kind of guy.
I wouldn't mind. Anthony Hudson, actually that guy, though. Literally that guy.
Trigger warning, judgment. United, I apologize.
United Arab Emirates, no offense to our three listeners in Qatar and our one listener in United Arab Emirates. Me and Matt are pretty smart dudes, and we like geography, I think. Matt, you and I are both pretty good at naming countries around the world, right?
Yes.
I think one of the cool things about being a international soccer fan, you're good at geography. That's just how it is. It's just like, you know where countries are. Me and Iggy today had a big argument about there was a hurricane that went through Grenada And Iggy was like, it's pronounced Granada. I'm like, no, it's Grenada. I'm pretty sure of it. I've lived my whole life, and it's an island in the Windward Islands. So,
I ran into a Brit, Mark, on Saturday when I was climbing Bierstadt, and I was like, I recognize your accent. You sound British, but I can't place it. I'm pretty good at picking out London accents. You don't sound like you're from Yorkshire. You're not from Liverpool or anything. Where are you from? And she said, I'm from the small town that you've never heard of. And I'm like, I've been to England. I play a lot of FIFA. I pay attention to the football league. Who's your football club? He's like, I'm from Chesterfield. I'm like, Chesterfield FC. I remember playing against them when I had my Bradford City campaign in League 2 in FIFA 2013. And she was not interested. To the extent that I was trying to FIFA Riz her, Mark, that was not working. Yeah. Bottom line for the Rapids this week, even though they're playing two teams that are in turmoil, one who has a clear identity and a young roster and a new interim head coach who might be getting a new coach bump, another roster that is old, stale, needs some turnover, and has a coach who's trying to right the ship and everything. Fundamentally, listeners, if the Rapids do these three things well, be press resistant, be good in possession, and don't make any big mistakes, don't gift the opponent anything easy, and if they attack the sieve at the defensive sieve that both of these teams have at center back, the Rapids should get 2 points. I'm going with a 1-1 draw, Mark, and I'm doing this clearly based on the fact that I rate John Hackworth. I think he got the raw end of the deal from Philadelphia Union, and I think I liked him, Mark. I think he was on my short list of domestic candidates for the Rapids head coaching job as well. So I think Hackworth, I think, will bring a veteran calmness and presence to the situation, knowing, understanding MLS and understanding where that locker room or the club are at. I think it'll end up being a 1-1 draw in which the Rapids are the better team. I'll take Cole Bassett to score, and then Leuven setting up. Jared Stroud's gone, so which winger do I like for this? They'll set up the Finnish fullback in an overlapping play against Sam Vines, since Vines has been a little weak defensively for me. But if the Rapids do those three things really well, resist the press, sharp on the ball, and don't put themselves in a bad situation from a rest of press standpoint. If they attack the center back sieves, Georgie and Navajo should eat, and they should be two wins, and the Rapids are getting 6 points this week. Mark, anything else that we want to say? I realize we're probably about to miss kickoff for the U.S. I want to go get hurt again emotionally. Shall we get out of here?
Just real quick, I'll give my prediction, which is I think the Rapids win that game also 2-0. I think they get a goal from Hava Navajo. I think we also finally get to see Lalas Abubakar pound one in with his head. That's his thing. He wheels off the end in Russia, a.k.a. Loki Sabagan, and gets one of those. I miss those goals. He usually gets at least one of those a season. And you know me, I love me some Lalas headed balls. So
Rapids are due for a goal on a corner. Listeners, you can follow us collectively on Twitter at @soccer_rabbi, at LWS Matt Pollard, and at Rapids96podcast. Email us at Rapids96podcast@gmail.com. If you have questions, comments, want some merch, something like that. And send us your questions using the hashtag AskHTHL or by tagging us. We are on Twitter. We are on, I think we're on Threads, though we're not active on Threads. We're on Facebook somehow. If you haven't liked us on Facebook, like us on Facebook. Rate, review, share, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If we're not on a platform you'd prefer us to be on, we will do our best to get on there. Get in touch with us on that. And check out our Substack, holdingthehighline.substack.com. That's where you can become a Highliner. That's where we got more details on the merch as well, and where you can find Rabbi's content. My Rapids content you could find at burgundywave.com. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to Holding the Highline. Enjoy your 4th of July weekend. Happy birthday, America. Enjoy the hot dog, listeners, and I'll see you at 2 tailgates for the home double game weeks this week.
Peace.